Hello everybody, this is English for You. And today I'll have my Fosakos students doubled in size. How many I can see? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 students. Can you see me?
Yes.
How are you doing, guys?
Fine.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And today's special guest is Caroline Graham from the United States. Caroline is an English teacher, a jazz singer, and an author of these jazz chants books. I'm holding up her latest. It's called Jazz Chants Old and New. Caroline, a very warm welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Victor. It's really nice to be here.
My first question is, what are you first and foremost? An English teacher, a jazz singer, or an author?
All three, Victor. All three.
Right, and what is the idea behind jazz chants?
The idea behind the jazz chants is to connect the rhythm of the spoken American English with the rhythms of American jazz.
So that was the idea. And how did it come about?
Well, it came about because I was teaching at New York University. I had a class very much like you. But at night, I had a totally different life. I was working in the piano bars as a piano player singer, playing very old-time jazz, which has a real strong 1-2-3-4 beat. If I could just show you a little bit of what I'm talking about. I was playing this very old music, and working with my students in the day, what I noticed was 2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. Hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? I noticed the rhythm of the music I was playing in the language. So when I heard people talking, I heard that same strong 1-2-3-4 beat. And it seemed to be everywhere.
Thank you very much. And I think that we all know your jazz chants. They are very, very popular in Hungary and all over the world. And what I have in mind is this question. Is it possible to teach vocabulary with the help of jazz chants?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Is it possible to teach grammar?
Yes, absolutely.
How about American culture?
Yes, American culture too.
Okay, functions like apologizing.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to check on this.
We are.
So do you mind if I join my group?
Please.
And you're going to take over.
Please.
You're going to be the teacher.
Great.
And I'm going to be one of your students.
Yes.
Not
yes.
The best one, I promise. Okay? Okay.
Well, there'll be a test, Victor.
Okay,
there'll be a test.
Over to you, Caroline.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. It's really nice to see you all. And what I think would be fun to do is to start with something called the pizza pie chant. So for this pizza chant, first let's practice a little bit, and then we're going to call on the music. We're going to be using our CD1 number 18. Now that's a real strong boogie-woogie that we're going to use, 1930s boogie-woogie. And you'll hear that strong 1-2-3-4 beat that I'm talking about. And on top of it, we're going to come in with pizza, pizza, pizza pie. He likes pizza, so do I. He likes pizza, so do I. Pizza, pizza, pizza pie. He likes pizza, so do I. Pizza with tomatoes, ham and cheese. I'd like a slice of pizza, please. Pizza with tomatoes, ham and cheese. I'd like a slice of pizza, please. Pizza with mushroom sausage, too. I'd like a large one, how about you? Pizza, pizza, pizza pie. He likes pizza, so do I. Now that sounds so good from you. Let's try it with the music. If we could have that music start, you're going to hear this wonderful piano player called Albert Ammons. He was one of the great jazz masters of the 30s. You'll hear him playing that boogie-woogie in just a minute. And then on top of that, we're going to come in with the language. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. See, it's a real strong 1-2-3-4 beat. 1, 2, 3, 4. And now we're going to come in with our language. Pizza, pizza, pizza pie. He likes pizza, so do I. Pizza, pizza, pizza pie. He likes pizza, so do I. Pizza with tomatoes, ham and cheese. Pizza with tomatoes, ham and cheese. Pizza with tomatoes, ham and cheese. I'd like a slice of pizza, please. I'd like a slice of pizza, please. I'd like a slice of pizza, please. Pizza with tomatoes, ham and cheese. Pizza with tomatoes, ham and cheese. Pizza with tomatoes, ham and cheese. Boom, boom.
I like a slice of pizza, please.
Very good, very good. Two, three, four. Pizza, pizza, pizza pie. Pizza, pizza, pizza pie. He likes pizza.
So do I.
Very nice. That's beautiful. Okay. That. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to show you a chant, and this is a particular favorite of mine because it was based on something that happened in my life. In fact, that's where I got the material. It was by listening to what people were saying. And when I first started working, I was just hearing it everywhere. Things like, hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? If you go to the airport, you hear, have a wonderful trip. Don't forget to call me when you get back. This kind of thing. I was writing all these down, bringing them to my class, and just tapping on the desk to give the rhythm, you see, and we were practicing like that. Now, everything started to sound like a jazz chant, as you can imagine. I was in New York. I was hearing it everywhere. And I came home one day, and something happened at home, and my husband said, I told you not to do it, and you did it again. I said, it's perfect. It's a wonderful past tense irregular jazz chant. Now I want to show you how we can play with that wonderful material. I told you not to do it, and you did it again. I told you not to do it, and you did it again. I told you not to do it, and you did it again. I told you not to do it, and you did it again. And now what we're going to do is play a little bit with that. I'm going to have the first group just take the first section. You did it again. Clap, clap. You did it again. You did it again, and keep going. You did it again, keep going. I told you not to do it. 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 Over here. I told you not to do it, and you did it again. I told you not to do it, and you did it again. That's perfect. That's wonderful. Now, we're going to put this to a marvelous piece by Jelly Roll Morton called The Wolverine Blues. This is CD 1-6. Jelly Roll Morton always considered that he was the man who invented jazz, and he always spoke of himself as being the first to discover jazz. He was a great piano player, a great old-time piano player. And here's that nice 1, 2, 3, 4. 1. Now let's start a little slow. I told you not to do it. I told you not to do it. I told you not to do it. But you did it again. You did it again. I told you not to do it. I told you not to do it. I told you not to do it. But you did it again. You did it again. I told you not to do it. I told you not to do it. I told you not to do it. But you did it again. You did it again. Now another thing that's fun to do is I'm going to give the accusation. For example, you did it again. You say, what did I do? You did it again.
What did I do?
You did it again.
What did I do?
You did it again.
What did I do?
I told you not to do it, and you did it again. You broke it.
What did I break?
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 You took it.
What did I take?
You took it.
What did I take?
You lost it.
What did I lose?
I told you not to do it, and you did it again. You did it again. What did I do? You did it again.
What did I do?
He broke it. He broke it. What did he break? He took it.
What did he take?
He lost it.
What did you lose?
I told him not to do it, and he did it again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Great. Thank you very much. Great. Now, the next one we're going to do is also something I'm very fond of. I'm from New York City, and there are two subjects that are of great interest to New Yorkers. I don't know about Budapest, but in New York, time and money have a lot of interest. So I have a chant we're going to do now about money. What we're going to do is really have a little chant about American coins. We're going to talk about the penny, which is the smallest thing, the cent, the penny.
Could you show it, Carolyn, on the projector? Which one is Which one is the penny?
Yes. I can see very well myself.
I think this one is the penny.
No, that was cent.
A cent, but you can call it penny, right? In the States, you call it penny, can't
we
you?
We would call penny the 1 cent.
This one, this is it.
I suppose so, yes.
This is
so
it.
So we have the penny, we have the nickel, which is 5 pennies. We have the dime, which is the smallest one.
Here we go, uh-huh. This is the dime.
And that's 10 pennies or 10 cents. And we have the quarter, which is 25 pennies or 25 cents. So basically we're talking about pennies, nickels, dimes, and dollars. Pennies, nickels, dimes, and dollars. Pennies, nickels, dimes, and dollars. And then this is going to be a little quiz. How many nickels in a dime?
2.
That's right. That's right. Very good, Victor. So now for this, we're going to use a special piece of music. We're going to use a hip-hop track. Here we've got CD 2, number 9. This was made for us in New York. And the hip-hop music is wonderful with the chants. It's that same beat. A little louder. Can we have a little bit louder? One, two, three, four. See, it's the same beat. Very different feeling. Pennies, nickels, dimes, and dollars. Pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. Pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. How many nickels in a dime? 2. Pennies,
nickels, dimes, and quarters. Pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters.
Pennies,
nickels, dimes, and quarters.
How many pennies in a dime?
10.
Pennies,
nickels, dimes, and quarters.
Pennies,
nickels, dimes, and quarters.
Pennies,
nickels, dimes, and quarters.
How many nickels in a dime?
2.
Pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters.
Pennies,
nickels,
dimes, and quarters.
Pennies,
nickels, dimes, and quarters.
How many pennies in a dime?
10.
Very good. Terrific. Okay, very nice. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Carolyn, if I may come in here.
Yes.
Where can you use these coins? I mean, can you use them in payphones, parking meters,
you know,
vending machines?
Of course. Where? Things are disappearing very quickly. You use pennies really for change. You know, when you need something will cost $1.57 and you need your 2 pennies. But these days you hardly use pennies anymore. You know, it's just, we still have them and they're in circulation. You don't use them in a phone booth. In a phone booth you need a quarter to start it, you know. And the coins are becoming less and less useful, to tell you the truth.
So maybe the quarters.
Oh yeah, we use
maybe
a quarter.
The quarters.
Yeah,
right.
You'll definitely, but in your coin purse you'll need all these things if you want to buy something in a machine, you might need a 10 cents to buy a candy bar, you know.
But how about Las Vegas? What can you use in Las Vegas?
Oh, Las Vegas, you need big bucks for Las Vegas. No
pennies,
quarters. No nickels, no dollars.
No quarters.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great. Now, the next subject I wanted to show you that I thought would be nice for our students when they're working on their language was how to describe not being able to understand someone because they're speaking too quickly. Because that's a situation that I know happens when you're learning a language. You hear someone and they're speaking very, very quickly and it's impossible to understand them. So I wanted to teach my students the language to go with that situation. So this chant is called, I couldn't understand him. He spoke too quickly, 3, 4. I couldn't understand him, 3, 4. He spoke too quickly, 3, 4. I couldn't understand him. He spoke too fast. Now I'm using fast. I'm using quickly and I'm using fast, huh? Both the same meaning. So let's do it again. I couldn't understand him. He spoke too quickly. I couldn't understand him.
He spoke too fast.
Did you say something really, really fast?
I want to know your name because, you know, it's very interesting
to
have your name somewhere.
I couldn't understand him. I couldn't understand him. I couldn't understand him. He spoke too quickly. I couldn't understand him. He spoke too fast. Yeah. I asked him to repeat it, and he said it again. I asked him to repeat it, and he said it again. I asked him to repeat it, and he said it again. Say it again, Victor.
I couldn't understand you.
I couldn't understand him. I couldn't understand him. He spoke too fast. He spoke too fast. And then we're going to go too fast, much too fast, too fast, much too fast, too fast, much too fast. I couldn't understand him at all. I couldn't understand him at all. Now we're going to play this one. This is going to be CD 2, number 10. This is one of my favorite pieces of music. This is Chubby Jackson coming out of New Orleans with this great thing called the Dixieland Stomp. It's a beautiful mellow beat. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I couldn't understand him. I couldn't understand him. I couldn't understand him. He spoke too fast. I couldn't understand him. He spoke too quickly. I couldn't understand him. He spoke too fast. I couldn't understand him. He spoke too quickly. I couldn't understand him. He spoke too fast. Too fast. Much too fast. Too fast. Much too fast. Too fast. Much too fast. I couldn't understand him at all. I asked him to repeat it. I asked him to repeat it. And he said it again. He said it again. But I couldn't understand him. He spoke too fast. I asked him to repeat it and he said it again. I asked him to repeat it and he said it again. I asked him to repeat it and he said it again. But I couldn't understand him. He spoke too fast. Great, great. And now, what I'd like to show you is the language of apology. This is something we all have to do sometimes. We have to apologize. And also we have to know how to receive an apology. Because, you know, when you're working with the language, you want to know what to say if I say to you, I'm sorry, you know. So I'm going to give you the simplest language of apology, which is, I'm sorry. That's all right. I'm sorry. That's okay. Right. I'm using that's all right, that's okay, never mind, don't worry about it. I'm using very simple language. Now this particular thing we're going to do to a beautiful blues. This is going to be back to CD 1, number 4. And here we've got the great Kid Ory, who was a marvelous jazz trombone coming out of New Orleans. 1, 2. I'm sorry. That's all right. I'm sorry. 2, 3, 4. That's okay. 3, 4. I'm really sorry. 3, 4. That's all right. Never mind. Don't worry about it. I'm really sorry. That's okay. Never mind. Don't worry about it. Now we're going to blame ourselves. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. Hey, it's all his fault. It's all his fault. Yes, it's all his fault. That's right. It's all his fault. And he said,
it's not my fault.
Well, whose fault is it, Victor?
It's all her fault.
Oh, it's all her fault. I'm sorry I did it. I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry I did it. I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry I did it. I shouldn't have done it. All
my fault.
I'm sorry I ate it. I shouldn't have eaten. I'm sorry I ate it. Shouldn't have eaten. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have eaten. It's all
my fault.
Now just, I'm sorry. 2, 3, 4. That's all right. Never mind. Don't worry about it. That's perfect. Okay. Now, thank you. Now what I'd like to do is show you a little song which carries with it the short answers. The short answers are very important in English. And I'm going to show you a little song which uses all negative answers. So you can join in with me on those answers. This is a love song that Elvis used to sing, and it's called Are You Lonesome Tonight? And we're going to do that together. I'll show you how it goes. Are you lonesome tonight? No, I'm not. Do you miss me tonight? No, I don't. Are you sorry we drifted apart? No, I'm not. Does your memory stray? No, it doesn't. To that bright summer's day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart. I don't remember you ever kissing me. The chairs in the parlor look lonesome and bare. No, they don't. Do you gaze out your doorstep and picture me there? No, I don't. Is your heart filled with pain? No, it's not. Shall I come back again? Good God, no. Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight? No. Thank you very much. And now for our last thing, I'd love to do a song with all of you. This song is called The Red Umbrella. And it goes like this. I bought a red umbrella, but I left it on the train. I lost my red umbrella, now I think it's going to rain. I think it's going to rain today. I'm sure it's going to rain. I wish I hadn't left my red umbrella on the train. It goes like this. I bought a red umbrella, but I left it on the train. I lost my red umbrella. I lost my red umbrella. Now I think it's gonna rain. I think it's gonna rain today. I think it's gonna rain today. I'm sure it's gonna rain. I'm sure it's gonna rain. I wish I hadn't left my red umbrella today. I wish I hadn't left my red umbrella on the train. Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you very much. Now, I've got a question.
Yes.
In the States, people usually compliment on each other, right?
Yes.
It's very, very usual and common.
Yes.
Could you help us how to do it? Do you have a chance for complimenting people?
Of course. There are lots of things. For example, it's very common to say to someone that you haven't seen for a long time, gee, it's good to see you. You look wonderful. That's a very common greeting. You know? Now, this is important. If anybody says this to you, you are expected to say back, so do you. You know what I mean? If you don't say so do you, then I think I really look horrible. You know, if I say, gee, it's good to see you, you look wonderful, I want you to say back to me, so do you. That's right. See? Then I'm happy. But if you don't say anything, if you just stand there, then I'm not happy, see? Because I get the wrong message. So it's that kind of thing. Gee, it's good to see you. Gee, it's good to see you. You look wonderful.
So do you.
That's right,
so
exactly. Now we're happy, see, because I'm getting the compliment and I've given him one. But I could also say, oh, I love your shirt. Where did you get it? You know, we do talk about ties. I like your tie. Where did you get it? And there I would just say, thank you. I'm glad you like it, or something like that.
And do you have a chance for refusing something?
Well, refusing, yes, but not a
not
compliment.
Not accepting.
Well, for example, I could compliment you on language. You speak English very well. Now, many people will be, they'll say, oh, no, not really, even though they do speak well. They're just waiting for me to insist, you know? You see, we call that fishing for a compliment. So I say to all of you, you speak English very well, and you say to me, oh, no, not really. Let's hear that. Oh, no, not really. Oh, no, not really. And then I say, yes, you do. You really do. Yes, you do. You really do. Yes, you do. You really do. Yes, you do. You really do.
Caroline, we have a special surprise for you.
Oh.
And also, I think I've learned a lot of things today. And I've learned that you are leaving on Monday, is that true?
Yes.
I have this little chant in mind. Have a wonderful trip. Have a wonderful trip. Don't forget to call me when you get back.
Oh, thank you.
Have a wonderful trip. Have a wonderful trip. Don't forget to call me when you get back.
Oh, that's so nice.
Have a wonderful trip. Have a wonderful trip. Don't forget to call me when you get back.
And then I would say, don't worry, I won't. 3, 4, don't worry, I won't. Means I won't forget to call you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
thanks
what
again.
A lovely surprise.
You don't mind
thank
my
you.
Kissing you?
No.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. I love your class.
What about my students?
I love them. I wish they were with me. I wish they were my students. You're just,
they're my students. They're,
I know. What I was hoping that they would follow me to New York. But it's really a pleasure to work with you. And I appreciate, you know, having this chance to meet you.
And when you come back, let's promise that we're going to do a couple more shows together.
I would love that, yes. With great pleasure. I would really enjoy
right.
that.
That would be wonderful.
Thank you.
Right. Is it the first time you've been in Hungary?
No, but it's the first time I've been on TV in Hungary.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice. And just one more question. Do you think that Hungarian audience is a little bit different of other
I
audiences?
I adore Hungarian audiences. I mean, they are so responsive to music. I went to the opera the other night. I love opera, and this opera here in Budapest is spectacular. But I've never seen such an audience. I've never seen an audience so happy, so thrilled with what they heard, which was gorgeous, of course. But it was just that they're very passionate people who express that pleasure in such a nice way.
Thank you
very
much. Thanks a lot. So we are music lovers. Carolyn,
yeah.
thanks again. And,
thank
and see you soon.
Yes, thank Bye-bye. You very much. Thank you.
Férjhez adnám a lányomat művelt fiatalemberhez.
Nem iszik, nem kártyázik, önnek pénz kell. És ezért hajlandó elvenni akárkit.
Nem szeretném, hogyha a jövendőbelim akarata ellen...
Az akarat is meg lesz.
Így házasodik.
És ön így megy férjhez.
Létezik út, üzlet és szerelem között.
Attól tartok, hogy ő udvarolni kezd nekem.
Wenzel Vera, Oszter Sándor, Ida regénye, első rész. Ma este az M2-n.